Amen. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Right, just organize myself. Bear in mind, guys, I am still only two-thirds worth through my training, so this might not be perfect. Get a disclaimer in straight away. Never be perfect till we get to heaven, will we? So here goes. Okay, so today is the last time you're going to hear a summer preacher. Back to normal next week with all your normal preachers. But I was just probably was just a little bit worried that maybe you're a bit listened out over the summer, or you've had a bad week and you're tired and all the rest of it. So just to reassure me that you're going to be listening to me today, I've got a bit of a quiz for you. So the guys at the back are going to play us four sound bites of people's voices. One at a time, I'd like you to guess. Tell me who you think they are. So let's push the button for number one. This is number one.
Give me the child, and I will give you the man, St. Francis Xavier, the founder of the Jesuit movement, is supposed to have said. Religious movements the world over try to shape impressionable minds with myths and fables and fairy stories. How the world began, where the first humans came from, what rainbows are.
See lots of puzzled faces. Anybody know? Anybody know? David? Close. Sorry? Jeremy Paxman. Correct. Jeremy Paxman. Can't be that challenging. Surely you watch Newsnight. Okay. No pictures. No, no cheating. Second voice.
The honourable member is saying is that he were rather the poor were poorer, yeah, provided the rich were less rich. That way you will never create the wealth for better social services as we have. And what a policy. Yes, he would rather have the poor poorer, provided the rich were less.
All together? Thank you. Thank you. Third one.
Compare the mirka.com, compare the market.com. Simples.
Everyone know that one? Who is it? I need the name of the actual meerkat. Alexander, yes, Alexander, the meerkat. And the final one. If you don't get this, then the back door's open and they're waiting to say goodbye to you.
I wonder if you remember back to, if you've been a Christian all your life, if you remember back to going to Sunday school or going to kids' church.
Henry? Well done. Okay. Okay, so now I'm a little bit happier now that obviously you're listening. You've got your listening ears on and you're ready to go. So, can I invite Alice up? She's going to give us our gospel reading.
The reading is from Mark 9, 2 to 13. And if you have a church Bible, it's on page 956. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what rising from the dead meant. And they asked him, "Why do the teachers of the law say that Elijah must come first?" Jesus replied, "To be sure, Elijah does come first and restores all things. Why then is it written that the Son of Man must suffer much and be rejected? But I tell you, Elijah has come, and they have done to him everything that they have wished, just as it is written about him."
Thank you. Okay, so today we continue our journey through Mark's Gospel. And this particular incident is called the Transfiguration. And it appears not just in Mark's Gospel, but also in Matthew and Luke's Gospel. And quite amazingly and unusually, the accounts are almost identical word for word. So in this event, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his trusted three, up a mountain. And while they're up the mountain, something amazing happens to Jesus. His clothes become dazzling white, his face shines, and Elijah and Moses appear on the mountain and appear to have a chat with him. And Peter, in his fear and amazement, interrupts their chat with a really random suggestion that it might be good to build each one of them a tent. As he says this, a big cloud comes over them all. And God interrupts Peter with these simple instructions. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." At this, Peter and James and John hit the dirt. And when the fearful three finally get up from the floor, all they see is Jesus there, standing on the mountain next to them, everything back to normal again. And on the way back down the mountain, Jesus tells Peter, James, and John not to talk about what's happened, and they don't. Now, there's quite a lot to look at in this passage. It's almost a sermon series on its own. We could look at why Jesus chose to take Peter, James, and John up the mountain on this adventure. We could look at the link between this passage and other biblical mountaintop experiences. We could try to understand what Peter was rambling on about when he said that he should build some tents. And would they be massive gazebos or little pop-up tents? Who knows? Or we could look at what Moses and Elijah were doing there. But today, after much prayer and deliberation, I think that God highlighted to me verse 7 as the part he would like us to look at today. And verse 7 says, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." You see, we don't often hear the audible voice of God, even in the Bible, and it's pretty hard to ignore. So today, we're not doing that. On the mountain of Transfiguration, God chooses to speak directly to his disciples. But why? Jesus has been walking and talking with his disciples for months. And there's just been a recent conversation between Jesus and Peter where Jesus has asked Peter, "Who am I? Who do you think I am?" And Peter's answered, "You're the Messiah." And Jesus has gone, "Yes, he's got it." But no. As the story continues, Peter and the other disciples still don't fully understand or believe who Jesus is. They don't see him as divine because they weren't hoping for a divine king. They were hoping for a king who would come and sort out the mess that Israel was in, and they put the Gentiles in their place. The Messiah they're looking for should be gathering a military force, but the Messiah that God sent them doesn't look like that at all. Not what they were expecting or wanting. When Jesus goes on to predict his death, Peter totally forgets everything that he has seen Jesus do and heard Jesus say, and totally falls back on his worldview and refuses to accept what Jesus says about how he, Jesus, needs to suffer and die in order to be their king, in order to be the Messiah that they're all waiting for. Then comes this powerful moment when the disciples hear the voice of God from heaven. Jesus is transfigured before their very eyes. His flesh and blood fall off in those moments, and the disciples are allowed to see the glory of God in the very person of Jesus Christ. Everything that Jesus has been trying to teach them through his words and his actions, they can now see face to face. It's right there before them. But still in that moment, Peter struggles with his belief and rambles on about tents instead. So what did God choose to tell them in that moment? If I was going to paraphrase it, I think he was saying, for goodness sake, Peter, just button it and listen. But what he actually says is something slightly more politely. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. God is emphasizing to Peter, James, and John the utmost importance of listening to Jesus. If you want to know who the Messiah is, then you need to listen to him. If you want the best for my lives, for your lives, then you need to listen to him. Peter, James, and John are having their eyes opened so that they can see the reality of God's kingdom. The central truth, even though he doesn't look like what they expected, that Jesus is the Messiah. And I believe that that's God's message for us today. If you want to know who the Messiah is, you need to listen to Jesus. If you want the best for your lives, then you need to listen to Jesus. If we want to live a life of knowing our Messiah and live a life of obedience to him, we need to listen to him. If we listen to Jesus, we hear the words of God. And listening to him is life-changing. Who we listen to and who we allow to shape our thinking and our attitudes and our worldview is really important. We sound like who we listen to. Our vocabulary is formed and shaped by the people and things that we pay attention to in our lives. Our daily influences, what we read, what we watch on TV, what we listen to, who we associate with. And that was the same for Peter, James, and John. They were there with Jesus. They heard his words personally. They saw his actions with their own eyes. Yet still they struggled to listen and obey because of the world's voices getting in the way. As you've just heard, I'm training for ordination and just going into my final year. That means lots of reading of theology books, lots of study, listening to lots of different lecturers, lots of different voices. And some of these lecturers are the most amazing people in the world. I've had the privilege to be lectured by great theologians such as Rowan Williams, Alistair McGrath, R.T. Kendall, Rick Warren, Tom Wright. Their brains are enormous, bigger than the size of a biggest planet in existence. Their knowledge of God and their knowledge of the Bible, truly amazing. Yet really, really confusingly, each one of them has a different theology, a different view of who God is. And I have to admit, I'm finding it really confusing. Because I thought I knew who Jesus was too. I've been following Jesus for 10 years now. And just like Peter, I've seen him do some amazing things in my life and other people's lives. I've been sitting where you are today, listening to all the wonderful messages from the front. And just like Peter, I thought I knew who Jesus was. But now I've got all these other voices in my head, in my life, all these other opinions, theologies, hypotheses, and all those other long words that I don't understand. And this has really made me begin to wonder, who do I believe? What do I believe? Who do I allow to influence my thoughts? I'm totally overwhelmed with information. Is some of it right? Is some of it wrong? How do I tell? Who do I ultimately listen to for guidance in my life? For the truth, not just in my theology, but in all aspects of my life. So the voices I had you listening to earlier, they're all voices that have influenced my thinking in my life and probably yours too, even though you probably don't even realize they have done it. We all listen to social commentators and politicians like Jeremy Paxman, and I just love him. Quite cruelly, I love how he can totally make or break a person's career in a 3-minute interview. Scary, but he can. He has that power. His voice has that power. We listen to the voices of politicians. Margaret Thatcher was the Prime Minister when I became old enough to vote. Don't do the maths. When I left school and first started working in 19-something-or-other, I got a job in the city where I was, at the age of 18, earning more than my father was. Needless to say, he was a bit miffed, and he called me one of Thatcher's millions. Guess his voice affected him, her voice affected his thoughts too. I'm not sure if it was a good thing or a bad thing being one of Thatcher's millions, but hey. We all listen to advertising, and those meerkats have got a lot to answer for. They're the voice of thoughts that go into our lives and into our minds. Thoughts like, are you sure that's the right choice for you? There might be something better, you know. Try our website, you never know. I'm not plugging them. We are all influenced by advertising. Whether Triumph has the bra for the way you are, or Beans Means Heinz, it's there. Those voices are in our lives. We listen to our preachers. We have Henry and David and Colin and all the other amazing preachers here telling us about Jesus, and they do a great job. They help us to grow with him. They help us to figure out who he is. They help us to go and to serve him. And our theology is based around theirs, what they believe. And our theological vocabulary is shaped by them. Outside of those four, we're influenced by voices on TV programs, the words of songs, our family, our friends. All of them have a great effect on how we look at the world and how we live in it. And this was no different for Peter and James and John and the other disciples. There were many voices affecting how they thought. They had the Pharisees, the Romans. I'm sure there were social and political commentators in their time too. Don't think there were any meerkats. But they had their family and their friends, all of whom affecting how they thought. But God says to us as Christians that our primary responsibility is to listen to Christ. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. If you want to know who the Messiah is, then you need to listen to him. If you want my best for your lives, then you need to listen to him. He's the one who guides our lives, gives us our worldview, points us to better relationships. If we listen to Jesus, we hear the words of God. And listening to him is life-changing. Each of us is called to do what the heavenly voice says. Listen to Jesus, because he is God's beloved son. So I believe the big question for us today is, who do we listen to? Do we listen to Jesus, or do we listen to the world? Do we make time every day to listen to Jesus? Do we make time where there's no disturbances, where there's no noise, where there's no distractions? I know you guys can all hear, because you passed that listening test with flying colors. But do we listen to God? It's really easy to miss what he's saying to us, because it's drowned out by the other voices in our lives. How can we really know who he is? How can we know his plans for our lives if we don't listen to him? Proverbs 3, verse 6, in the Message translation of the Bible, says this: listen to God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go, He's the one who will keep you on track. If we listen to Jesus, we hear the words of God, and listening to him is life-changing. I would like to issue a public health warning at this moment, though, and say that when God encourages us to listen to Jesus, he implies more than just the physical act of hearing him. What he means is listen and obey. Listen and do what he says. And as Christians, we believe that God still speaks to us today, as he did to his disciples 2,000 years ago on that mountain. Some people hear his audible voice. To others, he speaks through scripture, through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through people, through the wonder of nature, and so many other ways. And sometimes, all of them at the same time. But in order to hear Jesus, we have to make Jesus the main thing in our lives. We have to make time and space for him so that we don't end up, like Peter, waffling on and not seeing the whole picture. In order to hear from him, we have to eliminate time stealers like the TV, surfing the internet, and social media. They're not bad things in our lives, but we need to limit them. I can't tell you how many times I've just gone onto the internet just to check one thing and ended up buying 6 books, reading 3 people's blogs, and entering a competition to win a lifetime supply of dog food. It's such a distraction, such a temptation. And in order to hear him, we need to be interruptible. Often the time that we set aside to hear from Jesus and be with Jesus isn't the time that he's planned to be with us and to talk to us. So we have to be available to the nudges of the Holy Spirit to stop what we're doing in that moment and pay attention to what he wants us to do. We need to take ourselves onto that mountain, away from the voices of the world. Get space from those who impose their worldviews on us. We just need to go anywhere where we can be one-on-one with him in order to hear his voice and his purpose for our lives and have his worldview and to see the world through his eyes, to become more like him in our words and our deeds. We can't know the plans God has for our lives if we don't listen. We can't know who Jesus is if we don't listen. Our lives, our deeds, our thoughts, everything cannot reflect his if we don't listen. So can I encourage you in the next days and weeks and months to spend time listening to Jesus? No prayers, no words, button it. Just listen. So I think that's what he wants to say to us today. He's saying, if you want to know who the Messiah is, listen to Jesus. If you want my best for your lives, listen to Jesus. Because if we listen to Jesus, we hear the words of God, and listen to him is life-changing. So, with the bit of time that we have left now, I thought it'd be good to make some space to do just that. We've all come here today to worship God, to listen to his word preached, hope you've heard that, and to listen to him. So now would be a good time. We're going to make ourselves available. The next 5 minutes or so, we're going to be spending time in silence, listening to God, because God says, this is my son whom I love. Listen to him. God said to Peter, hey, for goodness sake, Peter, button it and listen. And now God says to me, for goodness sake, Sally, button it and listen. So we're going to do just that. So can you make yourselves comfortable? Wiggle if you need to. Grab your Bible if you have one. He might want to speak to you through scripture. He may give you a word or a picture in your mind. If he does, then stay with it. Ask him what it means, what he's showing you. We're going to make ourselves available to him and expect to hear from him, because I believe he wants to speak to each and every one of us today. I'm going to pray a short prayer. You may want to echo that in your heart as you listen. And at the end of our time, Joshua and the band will come up and lead us in worship again. Please do feel free to join in, or if you're listening and you're deep in conversation with God, then stay there, because he wants you to listen to him. So here we go. Are you ready for this? 5 minutes of silence in St. Barnabas Church. Oh my gosh, we can do this. Lord Jesus, when you speak to us, we often fail to hear. And when we hear, we often fail to understand. And when we understand, we often fail to obey. The noisy, busy world around us obscures your voice. And even in silence, our noisy souls drown out the whisper of your spirit. Lord, we're sorry for that. We want to hear your voice. We want to know your plans for our lives. We want to see and recognize your glory today and always. In this moment, we are fully available to you. Please speak to us. We are listening. Amen.